It's Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 38. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 38. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, thou lettest thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And his father and his and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with a husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. And she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we see in this portion of Scripture two elderly people, Simeon and Anna, who were looking forward to the promise that you had given through your prophets so many years before. And to Simeon in particular, you had revealed to him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And the joy that he had in seeing Jesus, in beholding with his own eyes the salvation of the Lord. Lord, we ask your blessing upon us. Help us to always wonder at Jesus and his greatness and his power and his mercy and the great love that you have for us by sending your Son. Lord, we ask your blessing upon us as we meditate on this portion of your word. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Simeon and Anna, or the Hebrew name would be Hannah, were trusting in and waiting on their Lord. In word and or in deed, they each are portrayed as a prophet or prophetess. Neither Simeon nor Anna had a large audience. In fact, their main audience was a family of three, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, as well as those who were nearby in the temple. We see starting in verses 25 through 26, we see Simeon's faith and what his faith produced. He's described here as a righteous and a devout man. And we need to take that apart and analyze that a little bit. When the Bible speaks of righteousness, we need to ask ourselves, is this the fact that God himself is righteous? Or is this that God demands a righteousness of us, which we all fall short of? Or is this the righteousness that comes through faith in the promised Messiah? And for those in the Old Testament, they were looking forward to us. From the New Testament time on, we're looking back to the Messiah who has come. And I believe this righteousness describing Simeon here is that of not an earned righteousness, not he was righteous because of all the good things he did, but rather a forensic righteousness or a forensic justification. That is, God as judge says someone is not guilty. It's a declared righteousness. It's a credited righteousness. Jesus' righteousness credited to your account. And your sin and your sins laid on Jesus on the cross when he suffered and died, not only for the sins of the world, but for your sins and mine. He was righteous, not an earned righteousness, but a declared righteousness through faith in the promised Messiah. He also was devout. He lived by faith in the promises of God's word. He was looking forward to the consolation of Israel, that is, the promised Messiah. Similar expression used of Zacharias and Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. The idea of they were declared righteous by faith, just like Abraham so many years before. And then they lived out their faith. They walked in that way. Not that they never needed forgiveness, Not that they ever never repented of their sins, but they walked in that fellowship, that relationship with the Lord. We see further about Simeon that the Holy Spirit was upon him in a very special way. The Holy Spirit revealed something to Simeon, and that which was revealed was this: he would not die before he would see the Lord's Christ or the Lord's anointed one. Of course, some people even today would say, well, that's what I want the Lord to do to me all the time. I want the Lord to talk to me so I hear a voice in my head so I know what God's will is. God certainly can do whatever he chooses to do. But we seek to hear the word of God, the voice of God, not through a direct means or a voice in our head, but rather the written scriptures that we open up, that we read, that we study, that we memorize and meditate on. Here the Holy Spirit led him in a special way and revealed to him that he would not die before seeing the Lord's Christ. And with God's promise, this is an unusual one, but with God's promise, for each one of us, we can rest and be certain that God will accomplish what he promises he will do. We're not waiting for the first time that Jesus came, but we're waiting for the second time when he will come again to judge the living and the dead. And though some scoff, one of my friends recently shared with me, well, I kind of like the Jesus that gave away free food and healed people, but I don't like the Jesus who died on the cross. You don't have the one without the other in reality. It's the same person. And the miracles that he did, the healings that he did, were evidence to show who he is, in fact, that he is the Son of God, that he is the promised Messiah. So Simeon, waiting, spending a lot of time in the temple, and the temple and the temple court area would be a larger area. And we see in verses 27 through 32, we see Simeon meeting with Jesus. The best kind of meeting that anyone could ever have. The entrance here, Simeon came by the Spirit into the temple, we read. And Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to do according to the law that was earlier in the passage I didn't read, but right before this was a circumcision on the eighth day, the first foreshadowing of the shedding of blood that Jesus would do for us. Circumcised on the eighth day to fulfill the law of Moses. And the dedication of the firstborn male, as recorded in Exodus 13 and Numbers chapter 3 and Numbers chapter 8. And then a cleansing ceremony for Mary after giving birth to a male child in accordance with Leviticus chapter 5 and chapter 12. That was the entrance of Mary and Joseph with Jesus. And the exit before they leave is what we sometimes call, and we don't call it as often as we used to, but the nunc dimittis, the Latin phrase, now either you are letting your servant depart in peace, the way Simeon's expression began, or now let your servant depart in peace. It could either be a request or it can be a statement, and either way it would be true. Simeon took Jesus in his arms. He blessed God. He said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. That is, to see Jesus and to trust in him is to have salvation. Not to earn by works or good deeds, but to look and behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation for Gentiles, the glory of your people Israel. And here we see, especially in Luke, the focus on Jesus coming not only for the Jewish people, but Jesus coming for the Jew and Gentile together, for the whole world. Remember John's words, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That good news for the Jewish people even today, but also good news for Gentiles of whatever variety of background they might have. Simeon saw his Lord Jesus, trusted in him, gave praise to God for keeping his word and for sending his son. And then in verses 27 through 32, excuse me, I kept the same verses from before, 33 and on, we see Simeon blesses Joseph and Mary and prepares Mary for Jesus' ministry and the sufferings that would follow. First of all, verse 33, Simeon blesses Joseph and Mary, and his father and mother were amazed at these things that were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them. So not only does he praise God, he blesses Mary and Joseph. He blessed them. And then also we see that Simeon prepares Mary for Jesus' ministry. Jesus is to have been a blessing to many, yet opposed by those who did not believe in him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed." That is, not everyone would accept the Messiah. In the Gospel of John, we read that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them power to become the children of God. Many would reject Jesus, even on the cross, the tauntings. "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." But it's because he was the Son of God, because he was the sacrifice for our sins, that he had to stay on the cross until that work was completed and finished. Simeon also warned Mary that Jesus' rejection, or the rejection that people would show toward Jesus, would also hurt Mary as well. "And a sword will pierce even your own soul." Obviously not speaking of physical persecution or suffering. But as she saw Jesus suffer and die, she saw Jesus rejected by the multitudes. And then as we go on to verses 36 through 38, we see Anna the prophetess and her meeting with Jesus and her service to God's people. We don't see here a recording of her as a prophetess, that she would have new revelations from God, but that she would speak forth what had been revealed and explained to people. Basically, she was testifying. She was sharing her faith with those around, those who were being prepared for this message. Anna the prophetess's meeting with Jesus and her service to God's people. Beginning in verses 36 and 37, we see a little bit about Anna's background, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and we read about her life that was not the easiest life. She had been married with her husband from a younger age for 7 years, and then she became a widow. And then a widow until the age of 84. And her service in her life was her dedication to serving in the temple and to help out in whatever capacity she was able to. We read that included prayer and fasting. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayer, praying for God's people, possibly praying even for the Gentiles, as she might have heard the predictions through the prophet Isaiah that Jesus would be a light unto the Gentiles as well. But we also read in verse 38 that she was proclaiming, or she made proclamation of Jesus as the Christ or as the Messiah. That very moment she came up and began giving thanks to God. And notice the verbs that show that she was beginning to do these things. It was the idea of she was doing these on an ongoing basis. She began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to those who were looking for the redemption of Israel. Those who were clinging to the promises of the Old Testament scriptures, the prophets of old, the promised Messiah, that Messiah would come, that he would be born in Bethlehem, that he would be born of the Virgin, and his suffering and death in so many details. Simeon and Anna each anticipated the promise of the Messiah being fulfilled. They had heard the Old Testament scriptures all their lives. They knew the predictions of the prophets. And to Simeon in particular, the Holy Spirit directed that he would not die before physically seeing the Lord's anointed, the Lord's Christ. Without a doubt, they both heard the details of the sufferings, death, and resurrection of this Messiah from Isaiah 53. And I'll read this portion. It's a little bit long, but it's a beautiful portion that I'd like to keep before us now. "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? His grave was assigned with the wicked men. Yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. And yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Indeed, Jesus himself is the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Christ. He himself fulfilled the whole will and law of God for each one of us, for you in particular. He himself suffered and died on the cross to pay the penalty that each of us deserve because of our sinfulness and because of our sins. And he did that for each one of us and for you in particular. Rest in that work that he accomplished on your behalf. Then on the day that you face your own death, or when Jesus returns, whichever comes first, you too may make that good confession along with Simeon. Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. Amen.